This is a program about going deeper. It is about creating a culture of learning. It's about putting apostolic feet to prophetic hope. It is our mission to purposefully equip the world to transform their region with God's love. We want to create an atmosphere of divine influence to the nations by walking in the power of His Holy Spirit with a faith that shapes the future. Welcome to Eagle Mountain Radio.
Hey everybody, welcome to Eagle Mountain Radio. My name is Chris Banky. I'll be your host today. And today we're going to do something a little different than we have in the past. I've got Bobby and Becky Hobby with me today in our studio. Hey guys.
Hey, how's it going?
Hello.
Today we're going to do a very short episode. We're going to do a few of these that are topical around some things that are coming up in this amazing conference that we've got coming up later this year. So the first one is this concept we've been talking about recently, which is called Naoth Ramah. So I'd love to start off just by setting the stage for us and kind of explaining at a high level, what is Naoth Ramah and kind of how does that fit in with what we're going after for in this conference?
In 1 Samuel 19, Samuel, who was growing up as a prophetic voice, had really sought the Lord on how do I create an environment, an atmosphere, and a culture that prioritizes the presence of the Lord. And so he began to pray, he began to train other people in the presence of the Lord, and out of that, there was this village called Naoth Ramah that was built. Samuel grew up in Ramah, and now Naoth Ramah, which was just outside of Ramah, was actually named apropos, and the name Naoth means dwelling. And so Naoth Ramah means dwelling place. And literally that was Samuel's goal, was to create an atmosphere that prioritized the presence of the Lord. Out of that, the voice of the Lord would speak to the schools of the prophets. He was known for just reestablishing the prophetic voice. The Bible says that before Samuel was born, the word of the Lord was rare in those days. And so he was just anointed and appointed by God to reestablish God's voice to the people. And they had practiced presence so much in that region where it became known for literally, physically, feeling, sensing, experiencing, and partnering with the presence of the Lord. So much so that when David was running from Saul's assassins that were chasing him, David goes down to see Samuel at Naoth Ramah, and the Bible says that Saul sent some of those assassins down to capture him. A messenger had come up and said, "We found David. He's down in Naoth Ramah with Samuel." And Saul sends his messengers or warriors down there to capture David, and the Bible says that they got just outside of the city, and the presence of God that had been so welcomed at Naoth Ramah jumped on those guys, so to speak, and they begin to prophesy because of that, for lack of a better term, vortex, if you will, of the presence. And so we have been like, Lord, we don't want to do anything without your presence. What are some biblical examples of what it looks like to create a modern day Naoth Ramah where you are welcomed, God, and everything we do, the voice of God is clearer, the direction of God is clearer, the presence of God is more clear. Out of that environment, how do we create, and what are you doing to create a modern day Naoth Ramah?
Wow. So just so I understand, so Naoth Ramah simply means dwelling place.
Yeah.
And when you start looking at it and saying, well, Naoth Ramah, what do you mean? Well, what I hear you saying is we're purposely taking that and saying, how do we create on purpose an environment that is welcoming as a dwelling place?
Yeah.
So we're just literally going after that. And I think it's interesting because I think a lot of people, when they hear things like that, they might say, well, God doesn't need our permission to enter our space. I think, you know, obviously that's true. He doesn't need permission for anything, but he doesn't force himself on us. So I really like this concept. I think it's very powerful of saying, you know, God doesn't force himself. That's he loves free will. So what do we do to welcome that? And what I'm hearing you guys say is that's what we're trying to design. We should, as Christians, be doing that, but also that's what we're designing for this conference that's coming up, pretty soon.
Right.
Yeah, it's the invitation from God. You remember in the very beginning when he had the Exodus out of Egypt for his people, the first thing he did is like, let's call him up to the mountain, you know? So it's the invitation to come into the presence of God. But it wasn't it was individual, but it was corporate as well. And so we feel like this is this time where God again is inviting us to him and to come into his presence in an individual and corporate way. And what could happen? That's what we're excited about. We have no agenda but his. We do want, you know, we feel like in this time, it's like this, you know, we've brought the ark of God's presence up to a certain point, and in our hearts and in corporately. But now is the time. It's like, we've been parking it at Obed-Edom's place, if you can imagine. And we've gone and we've gotten, you know, what did David do? When David went to collect the ark and to bring it back into Israel, he had to stop at Obed-Edom's, leave it there. He had to go back and to learn how to do it God's way. Mm-hmm. But not only that, it also says in the scripture he was confirmed as king. He had to deal with corporate sin, and he had to create process, because what was going to happen when he brought the ark, the presence of God, back to Israel? So there were many things that he was doing as he was getting everything ready. Right. We've been, as the body of Christ, in that place, I feel, getting everything ready. We've learned about our identity. God's spoken to us about our identity. We know who we are. He's spoken to us about sin in his body and getting the sin out. And he's brought us through an emotionally healthy process so that we can steward well his presence. And so, you know, here we are. We're ready. Yeah. We're coming back, and we're ready to engage with him, say yes to the calling of coming into his presence corporately and individually, and just saying, God, we have no agenda. What do you want to do? Where do you want to go? Let us imagine together. And Bobby, you shared about that scripture that talks about imagine. And could you just maybe pop into that real quick and share with us on, you know, when God talks about in scripture, let us imagine together.
Absolutely. Genesis 1:26, God says, let us make man in our image. And the word there for image is, what could we imagine? And so God begins to say, we want the best representation of us on the planet. How do we create something of all that we could imagine better than anything else that speaks about us on the planet? Better than the galaxies, better than the moon and the stars and the mountains and the rivers. We want someone who's walking, living, breathing representation of the Lord. And so in Genesis 1:26, the Trinity counsels together and says, let us make man with all that we can imagine.
Wow.
I just want to be in an environment where God begins to imagine again, where we can steward the imagination of the Lord, and not just steward his imaginations, but dream with him. And that's the purpose. Moses, right after the children of Israel came out of bondage, Moses set up a tent of meeting because he anticipated the people of God meeting with God in his presence. David comes along years later and does the same thing. I want a tabernacle with no veil That's David in the age of the law reaching into grace saying, God, I want everyone to look on your veil, not just a high priest. I'm sorry, I want everyone to live beyond the veil. And I don't want a veil. And God says, let's do it. That's my ultimate goal, is to bring everyone into a place where they can practice presence. But Jesus came in the first century when the church was just getting launched. And he says, but that question is given to you, O Israel. Will you seek for me as hidden treasure with all of your heart? And there was a tear in his heart because he cried out over that great city, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I long to gather you as a hen gathers her chicks, but you would not come to me. And so that is the invitation. And so we're posturing our hearts with a global church who is saying, God, we don't want to do anything out of your presence. And we have understood that doing anything in and of our own strength does not work. So come and give your presence to your people just like you originally intended.
Wow, it's powerful, and it makes me think of two questions. So I'd love to ask these two short questions. The one is, it has to do with, as you're thinking about creating this purposeful, way of thinking, I guess, right? And you're taking time to consider, how do we create an environment for Naoth Ramah? And then as that pertains to this conference that's coming up, I'd love you to talk about, like, what does that actually look like? But then at the same time, I don't want to leave anyone out, right? There's going to be people that can't attend this, or maybe they're hearing this later. So from a practical standpoint, what does this similar thing look like in a non-corporate, just in your own personal life? What does that look like?
I love the question, and I love where you're going with that, because it is more than an event. It's a lifestyle. If we've learned anything in this season, is that if we're not operating out of the presence of the Lord, we are left to our own opinions. And so God is saying, I want you to operate out of the joy of my presence and in a place that I've created for you. And we know that the greatest tabernacle ever built, not made with hands, is the tabernacle that Paul talked about.
Right.
That's, don't you know you are the tabernacle of the Holy Spirit, the temple of God? And so that is us. We are carriers of God's presence 24/7. And that's true positionally, but not everyone's aware that they carry God's presence, or don't know how to carry God's presence, don't know how to partner with him. And it's not enough to carry God's presence. He really wants out of the box, just like when they were bringing the ark up to Jerusalem that Becky talked about. He really wants out of the box. So how do we not only carry his presence, but release it on the planet? So number one, it's the truth that you carry God's presence. Everyone as a Christian has to come up to that realization. We've had tons of teaching about identity, and now it's time to just get it and understand that we carry presence. The next level is to then begin to release his presence, because if we know we carry his presence, God came for a purpose. He came for a mission. And that Matthew 28, 18 through 20, that great commission is really called the co-mission with Jesus. And so if God came for a purpose to release that presence, then we can't just carry for ourselves and be stingy about the anointing. We've got to be releasing God's presence in every sphere of society every day.
So globally, those who are going to join in, we're hoping that they're going to create that place in their home or with a group of people that they gather together to join with us. And we're going to have just praise. We're going to praise the Lord, and we're going to have prayer, and we're going to see if he wants to share anything with us prophetically, that we release that. But other than that, in our times where we're live together, that's what we're going after. There will be a way, though, for some, this may be new. This might be something that they're not understanding. It's like just, or they understand it to a certain degree. We're going to have times where we'll have, understanding on it, a little bit of teaching on it, so that we can all come into and be on the same page as we corporately take that invitation that the Lord is giving to join him at the mountain and to hear from him.
That's so good. I'm very excited for the event. because I think periods like this, at least I know in my experience, can really be a springboard. But I love what you're talking about. I love the teaching, and actually what we're going to be talking about at the event is how do you make this part of your lifestyle, like what you're saying, Bobby. This, it's not about creating rituals and weird environments. It's about understanding and developing your own maturity with your relationship with God and creating that Ne'ath Ramah. And I think it's going to be very powerful from an event standpoint, but it's also something that every Christian needs to be thinking about, like, how do I do this in my life? So there's resources that are out there, and we'll link to some of those here in the show notes and so forth. And if you have an opportunity to attend the Imagine Conference, then you know you definitely should do that. So you guys, thank you so much for pouring into this. We're going to do a couple more of these. So if you're just hearing this one, you want to make sure and connect to all of the different episodes where we talk about this stuff coming up. We've got a few other guests as well. So make sure you listen to all of them because they're all really good. Until next time, thanks guys, and we'll see you guys in the next episode.